Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 79. It's a Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre, where we talk about gay news, geek stories, and bizarre topics. So, before we go on, we do a little bit of... Ray, you have some news.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Ursula K. Le Guin, acclaimed for her fantasy fiction, is dead at 88. Ursula K. Le Guin, the immensely popular author who brought literary depth and tough-minded feminism sensibility to science fiction and fantasy with books like The Left Hand of Darkness, the Earthsea series, died on Monday at her home in Portland, Oregon. She was 88. Miss Le Guin embraced the standard themes of her chosen genres, sorcery and dragons, spaceships, and planetary conflict. But even when her protagonists are male, they avoid the macho posturing of so many science fiction and fantasy heroes. The conflicts they face are typically rooted in a clash of cultures and resolve, more by conciliation and self-sacrifice than by swordplay or space battle. So
you used to read a lot of this when you were young, you're saying?
Yeah, Earthsea series. So actually, sci-fi took one of made the Earthsea series into a miniseries.
I see. Okay. Well, sorry to hear that. One of your authors that you read before.
Yeah, and she's away. She's a big fantasy author, science fiction author. So.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, condolences to her family. Okay. So, all right. So I guess we do some weekend updates. Ray, softball season is back.
Oh God! I mean, I'm gonna hear you whine for the next 8 months.
Yeah, no, that's not that long. Good Lord, it's just gonna be like three or four months.
It feels like it drags on forever. Oh my God, I'm so sore. I'll be sore every time. I'm not gonna do baseball anymore. I'm not gonna do fall ball anymore. Oh God, I hurt. I'm so tired.
Yeah, but it did rain last weekend, so we just did some batting practice. So that's okay. And just hung out with friends. So went out with Mark and Kevin. I got to eat Filipino food for weeks. I haven't eaten Filipino food for a week. So we went to a Filipino buffet, as usual. I mean, whenever you have Why? You don't like Filipino food? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's greasy.
Yeah, too greasy for me. And I'm from the South, and I'm saying it's too greasy.
That's true. How about you? You're actually out of town right now, or are you?
Speaking of the South, I'm in Hotlanta, Georgia.
Georgia. How is it over there? Is it chilly? Is it warm?
It's chilly here. The weather we got in Houston, they're just getting over it now. So it was a little chilly this weekend. Saturday was nice. Sunday was nice, too. But coming back up here to Georgia, going to Atlanta on Monday, it was a little chilly. So I went and visited the family over the weekend. So
nice.
I flew in a couple of days early, got to go see the rants, went to a birthday party in a barn for the brother-in-law. Hung out with family, so it was nice.
Did you milk any cows?
No, we don't have any dairy cows anymore.
Oh, you don't have any more cows? Just
got more cows. We got mules and horses now.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear you're enjoying your stay in Georgia, or over there in South Carolina. You actually went to South Carolina, right? You drove.
Yeah, I drove down from Atlanta. I flew in Atlanta, and then rented a car and drove down to South Carolina. To home, it's like 2.5 hours away. So
nice. Okay, I'm glad you got to do that. Okay, so let's go to our stories for this. Okay, so let me start with this gay story. So guys, this is a sad story because it's kind of a mystery also, and it's one of those murder mysteries that happened. So it's actually forwarded to us by a friend of ours, Gary Snyder from Drenched Fur. And we kind of followed through and posted on the Gay Geek Bazaar Facebook page. What are you doing, Ray? It's really loud there. Are you shaving or something?
No, I'm just sitting here in my chair.
Okay, there's this hissing sound on your side. Anyway, okay, so Bruce MacArthur charged with first-degree murder.
My trouser snake. It's raring to get out.
Yes, I want to see it. Okay, so Bruce MacArthur charged with first-degree murders of two men who disappeared from Toronto's gay village. So police have arrested and charged a suspect with the murders of two men whose disappearances from downtown Toronto have, since last year, stoked fears in the city's gay community. Bruce MacArthur, 66, of Toronto, has been charged with the first-degree murders of Andrew Kinsman and Selim Essen, whom investigators presume to be dead, police said Thursday. "We've apprehended someone who has done tremendous harm to the city," police chief Mark Saunders said at a news conference. "We believe he is responsible for the deaths of Mr. Essen and Mr. Kinsman, and we believe he is responsible for the deaths of other men who have yet to be identified," said Detective Sergeant Hank Insignia. "In other words, we believe there are other victims." You're really scratching on the microphone, Ray. Okay.
I'm just sitting here. I swear to God, I'm just sitting here.
Really? Okay. So Insignia said the bodies of Essen Kinsman have yet to be found, but police have a pretty good idea what their cause of death was. "At this stage, we are most concerned with identifying other victims of Mr. MacArthur," he said. Kinsman, 49, went missing from Toronto's Cabbage Town neighborhood in June, while Essen, 44, last seen in the Yonge and Bloor area last April. Both areas are close to the predominantly gay neighborhood of Church and Wellesley. A police task force called Project PRISM was established in August to investigate their disappearance and share information with another task force looking into the 2012 disappearances of three other men in the Church and Wellesley area called Project Houston. Project Houston, Ray. Rumors had swirled in Toronto's gay village that a string of disappearances from the area could be connected. But in December, investigators had said that there was no proof that a serial killer was operating in the area. So this is sad because the guys who were on the news were actually their bears. So probably somebody from our...
So we have a gay bear serial killer?
Yes. Yes, it looks like it. Yeah. So people are disappearing, and it's really sad that that's happening in the Toronto area. So anyway, thanks, Gary, for sending that out. It looks like if they are friends of yours, I'm sorry to hear that, Gary. So anyway, so it's really sad that some of our bear friends, our bear brothers are being abducted and killed, I guess, in Toronto area. And there's more. That's what's scary, because there might be more that are connected to this. So we'll find out. Maybe we'll have an update soon. Okay, Ray, let's go to the geek.
Okay, the geek this week. Phone addicted teens aren't as happy as those who play sports and hang out IRL. Used to study chess.
IRL. IRL is in real.
Hang on. Hold up.
All right.
This is my story. Hold your roll.
Okay.
And for you older folks that don't know what IRL is, it means in real life. Just to give you the kids' lingo.
All right.
To no parent's surprise, too much smartphone use makes teens unhappy. So says a new study from San Diego State University, which pulled the data from over 1 million 8th, 10th, and 12th graders in the U.S., showing teens who spent more time on social media, gaming, texting, and video chatting on their phones were not as happy as those who played sports, went outside, and interacted with real human beings. Go figure.
Yep.
But it's the screen time bringing them down, or sadder teens more likely to insulate themselves in a virtual world? Lead author of the study said, and professor of psychology, Jimmy Tween, believes that the phone contributes to making them unhappy, not the other way around. So your iPhone's making you unhappy. Although this study can't show causation, several other studies have shown that more social media use leads to unhappiness. But unhappiness does not lead to more social media use, Twin said. So my question is that why all the people that are drama queens on Facebook and other social sites, is that because they're depressed and they can't get out of that cycle? So through absence doesn't seem to fix the problem either. As noted in the study, there is something to Twin's theory. Another recent study by the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, also led by Twin, found a spike in depression and suicide among teen girls increased the more time they spent on their cell phones. That's alarming, especially since considering the age at which kids get smartphones has to continue to climb lower, dropping from 12 in 2012 to 10.13 years in 2016. Twins has been studying teen behavior since the early 90s and has been on the forefront of research suggesting an abrupt change in behavior and emotional states of teenagers due to smartphone use. She says there's been a dramatic shift starting in 2012 when younger and younger kids started getting more screen time. Researchers found that more of the same while sifting through the data for this study. Teenagers' life satisfaction, self-esteem, and happiness plummeted after 2012. To back up that work, previous studies suggested kids who spent at least 4 or 5 hours on their phone increased their risk factor to suicide by a whopping 71%.
That's high.
Regardless of whether it was cat videos or something else, it was the time spent on the device, not the content, that mattered the most. So see, these cell phones are frying our brains and making us depressed.
Yep.
By far the largest change in teens lives between 2012 and 2016 was the increase in the amount of time they spent on digital media and the subsequent decline in personal social activities and sleep, she said. The key to digital media use and happiness is limited use. She suggests that teens aim to spend no more than 2 hours a day on digital media, exercise more, and try to hang out with friends face-to-face, increase happiness. All things adults could probably use more of as well. So I'm sure this study, long-ranging, will eventually reach out to adult study too.
Yeah, it's really sad that we have this cell phone problem, I guess. Well, we're all both guilty about it, Ray. You and I use cell phones every day, every minute. And it is true. I do sometimes feel depressed whenever I'm on the phone sometimes. I could just imagine how kids would be, especially when you really spend so much time on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, during dinner or anything like that, I really put my phone in my pocket. So, yeah. So I just want to be, you know, to be more social whenever I'm on the table, on a dinner table or whenever I'm hanging out with people. And I really do put away my phone. But yeah, for some people, they just use it even though you're in front of people. I don't like using my phone in front of people. Do you sometimes observe that, Ray, with other people? At work, do people...
No, what gets me at work is how many people are actually on their phones.
Everybody's on their
work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe they're unhappy too. But anyway, my point, yeah, this is a good article, I guess. It's a kind of interesting, phone-addicted teens. So these are teens.
Teens, yeah.
And you know...
These are like preteens. This is age 10 and up.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? People getting their phones for the first time when they become teens or when they start going to school and meeting people, and just going online and social media, and the Snapchats and the Instagrams.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, young kids shouldn't be on Snapchat. And interesting, you know, we talk about this. You know, a while back we talked about some guy up here in Atlanta stalking girls on Instagram and doing stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, that same thing is happening to my nieces.
Oh,
on Instagram.
No.
They had to go to the police department and turn in their iPods and give a statement to the police because them and a group of their little friends were being targeted by some pervert.
That's really sad. Huh.
So.
Anyway, okay. So just be careful. Everyone listening, just be careful with your phones. Just don't spend too much time on it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the bizarres. We have a couple of bizarres here, which is really interesting because it's about food and a burglar and donuts. Right, Ray?
Who would rob a donut shop with all the cops sitting there? I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you taking this? I'd like to take the other one because it involves ass.
Oh, so you want me to do them back to back. Okay. Donut eating contest winner arrested again after donut shop robbery. 4 years ago, Bradley Hardison gained national attention after his win in a police-sponsored donut eating contest helped police find and arrest him for earlier crimes. Now he's been charged again, this time with robbing a donut shop. Hardison, 27, of Elizabeth City, was charged Thursday with a felony breaking and entering, felony safe cracking, and felony larceny of a Dunkin' Donuts on November the 21st, according to a news release from the Elizabeth City Police Department. In 2014, he won a donut eating contest at the Elizabeth City Police Department National Night Out Against Crime event. He devoured 8 glazed donuts in 2 minutes, according to the reports at the time. But police had been looking for Hardison for months as a suspect in at least 3 break-ins going back to 2013. Now that he was a minor local celebrity for winning the contest, police were able to locate and arrest him. National media picked up on the news. State records show Hardison was convicted in the earlier crimes and received a suspended sentence of 3 years in jail. The suspended time ended in October of 2017. Hardison is being held under a $7,000 bond for the latest charges. That's a lot of donuts she could have bought with that $7,000.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what's weird about this, what's bizarre about this story is that a guy who has already won still wanted to steal donuts.
Well, the whole thing was, if he hadn't won the donut eating contest, they wouldn't have found him to do for the first arrest. And now he goes and does the same thing again. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he did not get rehabilitated in prison.
Yeah. Do you think it's really a total addiction about the donuts? Is that really good for him? I mean, it's Dunkin' Donuts,
you know,
for Pete's sake.
I think maybe that he just thinks that donut shops are an easy mark.
I guess so. Especially Dunkin' Donuts ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you eat Dunkin' Donuts? I mean, when you get the chance, if somebody brings a Dunkin' Donuts.
Like, Houston's big on Shipley's, which is a local chain. And Dunkin's just now moving into Houston. And over the weekend, I had some really good Dunkin' Donuts coffee because everybody says how good it was. And I tried some and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. So I was like very, very impressed with it. So.
And that's cool. All right, let's go to the next story. It's about ass. Not really. It's about worms in the ass. Okay, so sushi lover pulled a 5-foot tapeworm from intestines.
See, that's why I don't eat sushi.
I like sushi, but I only eat it occasionally. I mean, you know, like once a month or twice a month. Okay, so a California man, he should have ordered the California roll. He wouldn't have any tapeworms. A California man with a love of raw fish had a major scare when a trip to the bathroom led to a disturbing discovery. He felt ill with diarrhea when he noticed that what looked like a piece of intestine hanging out of his body. Yeah, I would have been freaked out too. So the man grabbed it and pulled it out and soon learned it was actually a 5.5-foot tapeworm. Emergency physicians. Dr. Kenny Ban was the doctor on call at the local emergency room in Fresno, where the man went and retells the story of the incident on a recent episode of the podcast That Won't Hurt a Bit. The patient came to the ER and asked to be treated for worms, something Ban said he hears a lot from patients who try to self-diagnose and often makes him skeptical. But when Ban noticed the man had a plastic bag in his hand, inside he wrapped the worm around the cardboard toilet paper tube. That came out of your bottom? Buns asked the man. He replied, yes. The doctor asked further questions and found out that the man was suffering from abdominal cramping and bloody diarrhea. While using the bathroom, he saw something hanging out of himself and pulled. He grabs it and he pulls on it, and it keeps coming out, Bond recounted on the podcast. He then held it in front of him, and what does it do? It starts moving. At the hospital, Bon unraveled the tapeworm and laid it on the paper towels on the emergency room floor. It measured 5.5 feet long. My height, Bon said. He said he soon learned the man had not traveled to any other countries or partaken in any unusual behavior that might have exposed him to the parasite. He did admit, however, that he had a love for sushi, particularly raw salmon sashimi, and ate it daily. Last year, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention warned that a tapeworm known to infect salmon and the Asian Pacific is now present in fish from U.S. waters. While the risk of getting a tapeworm from eating raw or uncooked fish is low, doctors warn it is possible. Other pathogens, including the Salmonella bacteria and various parasitic worms, may also be present and can cause illness. To protect yourself Experts recommend not buying raw or undercooked fish at restaurants that are not up to par on their health grades. I would not go to restaurants with a C rating in New York largely for this reason. It's a big red flag when a sushi restaurant can't maintain an A rating because one of the main things they get rated on is refrigeration. They're not cooking the fish, so that is not the only prevention method, keeping it cold. Dr. Danielle Aras, assistant professor of infectious disease at NYU Langone Medical Center, told CBS News last May. When preparing fish at home, cook seafood to an internal temperature of 145 degrees Fahrenheit, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration recommends. Freezing fish can kill parasites too, according to the FDA. Okay, so this is interesting. Ray, do you eat a lot of sushi yourself?
No, I do not eat sushi.
But you do eat the vegetable ones, like the California roll.
California rolls and stuff, yeah.
That's the extent. And probably sashimi or... not sashimi, but tempura, which are, you know, like shrimp, tempura shrimp, the ones that are deep fried, something like that. I love sushi. I mean,
let's also put this in context where people start freaking out. A tapeworm does not get 5 feet long in a few days. It takes years.
So that means he had that problem for
a long time. I can't remember if it was on our page or the page we got that from. It was talking about that they only grow so long per year, month, depending on how much food they're getting and stuff like that.
Yep.
And for it to be 5 foot long, it had to be in him for years.
Yep. It's really scary. Somebody had to have a 5 foot long. That is really... Well, for one thing, a human intestine is really long, like 30 feet or something like that. You know, if it's unraveled, not unraveled. If it's... twisted and turned around your body, but my God, it's probably he probably had a lot of blockage or something. That's what they were saying, that he had a lot of bleeding. So I could understand that. Ugh, pretty scary. Okay, so that's the scary part about eating a lot of sushi. So I'll probably eat sushi not anytime soon. Maybe next year. We'll see. Okay, Ray. So I guess that is all for our show. And when are you coming back? You're coming back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think I'll be back tomorrow night.
Nice. Good. Okay. So I hope to see you this weekend. All right. So I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. And if you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Please call. We're sitting here by the phone waiting on you.
Okay. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And we are on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website, gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.